This is Doug Miller. We're still in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and we're still talking about faith. So come along, and let's look into the Bible together.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are here again by the grace of God and in his goodness and mercy to take this book that we call the Bible and to open it up and to preach it and teach it in the sure and certain knowledge that this is the Word of God, that this is what brings life and light and salvation, that it is in this book that we see the Christ of God, and that we are brought to life through his holy and blessed name. So open your Bibles up, 11th chapter of Hebrews, and why not call a friend? Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Hebrews, this 11th chapter is the book of faith, the chapter of faith, and we are going to be looking at least a couple of people. We were looking at Abraham last time. Today we will spend more time looking at Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, all three of these. And I think you'll find it very enlightening and very interesting and perhaps even life-changing for some of you. So dialogue, as I tell you every time, is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out. Now, for those of you who are the least bit interested, let me tell you that Dialogue is a very low-key kind of operation. We're low budget. We don't spend a lot of money. And the money that we have goes into these broadcasts mainly. This is the big thing. And so we need your prayers, and it's always nice to hear from you, to know that you're out there, that you're listening, where you are. Always an encouragement to answer any questions you have would be our delight. To help you in any way we can would be our delight. So let us hear from you. Mailing address is Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Now, if you didn't get that, just keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. All right. I had intended to move through this 11th chapter much quicker than I am moving through it. As we got into it, as those of you who have been listening to Dialogue for any length of time know that generally I take a line-by-line, verse-by-verse, precept-upon-precept approach. But I thought that I would move through the 11th chapter a lot quicker than I have. Some of these things, however, are just so interesting and so potentially life-changing that I've just had to linger over some of these. Last time, for example, we looked at Abraham. We looked at the offering up of Isaac, this type of the child of promise. And we will spend most of our time, Lord willing, today looking at Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, three other men who made the faith chapter, the hall of heroes of the faith. And in every case, particularly in the case of Isaac and Jacob, you might say, well, this is interesting that these guys got in here. There's very little said about them. Well, there is enough said about them that we can learn from them. So let's learn from them. We read in verse 20 of chapter 11, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Now the story is given in the 27th chapter of Genesis. And for those of you who are familiar with this story, this is the place, or this is the chapter wherein is recorded Jacob's stealing of the birthright from Esau. And you might look at that and say, why, this is a strange thing. We've got deception here. We've got deceitfulness. And this guy says, the writer of Hebrews says it was by faith that he did it. Why, clearly it was by ignorance that he did it. Well, yeah, maybe. It is true that Isaac didn't know exactly what he was doing. But I want to point out to all of you out there that God knew exactly what he was doing. Now, there is a principle in this that I think it is very important that you all see. You've heard me say on here before, tell the story of the lady who said, since I've been saved, I've learned to see a living Christ on every page of the Bible. And last week we talked about this, and we saw a picture of the Christ, the Son of the living God, as he was pictured in Isaac going up Mount Moriah, bearing the wood for the sacrifice, God providing himself a lamb. We saw all that. Well, this time, we're going to see something else. Excuse me, little tickle in the throat there. This time, we're going to see something else. We're going to see a principle being set forth. We've already seen the principle to a degree. Genesis is the seed plot for the entire Bible. That is, it begins in the Garden of Eden, the perfect paradise, and it ends with the exaltation of Joseph in Egypt, which is a type and picture of the world, and Joseph is a beautiful type and picture of the Christ, the Son of the living God. And, of course, even the Jewish rabbis understood that the Messiah, he is sometimes called the Messiah ben Joseph, as opposed to the Messiah ben David. And it was this, the difference in the two men, that caused many of the rabbis to wonder, are there two Messiahs? These guys are so different. Well, they are different. And, of course, what they were seeing, these rabbis, is the two different comings of the Messiah. One as the suffering servant, and the second, which we don't have yet, as the reigning king. Well, all of this is pictured in this book of Genesis. Now, there is a principle that we also see pictured in the book of Genesis. Do you remember in the third chapter of John when Nicodemus came out to see Jesus at night? And Jesus said to him, after Nicodemus's rather interesting opening statement, we know that you're a teacher come from God, and so on and so forth. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus's response, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter his mother's womb and be born a second time? And Jesus says to him, that unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom. And he asks him a question. He said, you're a teacher in Israel, and you don't know this. The second birth, the implication being pretty clear. You should know about the second birth. Teacher in Israel, ruler among the Pharisees. Why am I having to talk to you about this? And you look at me and ask me these kind of questions. Well, I've got a question. How would Nicodemus know about it? Where would he have gotten this information? Same way you and I got it, out of the Word of God. Now, of course, at the time Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, there was only an Old Testament, wasn't there? That's all they had. And therefore, what Jesus is saying very clearly, I don't think you can get around it, is that there is sufficient light in the Old Testament to know about the necessity for a rebirth. And one of the places you get it, and I, in a way, as ignorant as I am and have been over the years, in a way I can't much blame Nicodemus for missing this. If anyone blames it, it'll have to be the Lord Jesus, and he did, so I'll let it stand at that. But look, one of the ways in which it is clear in the Old Testament is by type and by picture. And we saw this last time with Abraham and Isaac. Look at this. The principle here is the rebirth. The first birth will not do it. It requires a rebirth. The first man will not enter into the kingdom. It requires the second man, the man who has been born the second time. And how do we see that, and where do we see it? Well, the principle is laid down very clearly throughout the book of Genesis. And, for example, notice that the blessing always falls not on the firstborn, but on the secondborn. Not on Cain, but on, or not on, yes, not on Cain, but on Abel. Not on Ishmael, born after the flesh, but on Isaac, the child of promise. It's the secondborn. Now, this principle goes against the grain over there in the Middle East, this, where they have, and at this time in particular, we're living under the a rule that we call primogeniture, where the firstborn pretty well inherits everything, and everyone else kind of gets what's left over. Here we have the blessing falling on the secondborn. Not, once again, Ishmael, but Isaac. And when we get to Isaac, we get this principle again of the secondborn. Not on Esau, but on Jacob. Now, did Isaac know this? Well, maybe not. But he did know some things. And God worked it out. He made sure, God did, that the blessing did not fall on Esau. Oh, there was some blessing that fell on him, but not the prime and main blessing. God made sure of that. Now, when we look at it from our rather limited point of view, we say, well, it was all deception. Rebecca and Jacob conspired to lie to poor blind Isaac, and yet poor blind Isaac, even though he was blind, was guided by God to do the right thing. Now, friends, let me tell you something. There is not a one of us who in our lives do not come to points in our lives where we just simply don't know what to do. And some of you out there, you can identify with Isaac. You can say, I'm blind, that's me. I'm just kind of feeling my way around here. I don't know what I'm doing exactly. Let me give you some good advice. First off, you stay in the Word of God. Stay in the Word of God. You saturate yourself with this Word and make absolutely sure that whatever move you're making, it is within the will of God. This book is a lamp to our feet, and it's a light to our path and a lamp to our feet. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, said Jesus. And, of course, he was the living Word, and here we have the written Word. And we have in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 that this Word, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly or thoroughly finished unto every good work. You want completion, perfection, finishing to good works, walking in the light, you stay in this book. Beyond that, you pray, and you leave the result to God, and he will not fail you. Now, you don't have to do this. You don't have to do what I just told you to do. You can go off and do things on your own. And the guy talking to you has done that plenty of times, much to his regret. Now, here is Isaac. Isaac is blind. Isaac is being deceived. And I can just, I don't know what the enemy had in mind here. But the enemy does not know the end from the beginning, and God does. And Isaac was doing the right thing in spite of himself. And the right thing, the blessing falls again on the second born. Do you see? You must be born again. Now, you go back, and you want to get into, it says here, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. Now, you go back and read the blessing, and you'll see exactly what we mean by this. Isaac, in blessing Jacob, talks about the things that God had promised him, Isaac, and Isaac is passing these on to his son. So what does he have? He has a word of God, God had spoken to Isaac and talked about how that in him all the nations of the earth would be blessed, and how his seed would spread abroad and inherit the gates of the enemy. And Isaac takes this word of God, and by faith, he hadn't seen any of this. He didn't have a multitude of descendants at this time. He only had two, and Abraham only had one, you know, excluding Ishmael, whom God excluded. And he's got, and Isaac has two descendants here. As far as we know, that's it. So when he says these things and puts this blessing on Jacob, how is he doing it? By faith. Hadn't seen it yet, because faith is believing God whether or not you see anything. Now, friends, God has promised us many things out there. He's promised a future to us that is beyond anything we can imagine. He has promised us blessings in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. He has promised to raise us up into glory and to change us so that we are physically like his son. He has promised that his son is bringing many sons with him into glory. We haven't seen any of this yet. And yet it is there, God has said it, and it's by faith that we lay hold on it. And we've already seen back here earlier in chapter 11, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now we've got Jacob here as the next one who's mentioned. And Jacob, if you will notice, it says when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph, leaning upon and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Let's talk about this one a little bit. If you want to read about this one, go back to the 47th chapter of Genesis, or the 48th chapter of Genesis, and you will see and find that we have Joseph bringing in his two sons for Jacob to bless. Now, Jacob, too, is blind. He is blind just like his father Isaac was blind when Jacob stole the blessing from his older brother Esau. Now, this is so important. This little verse, you know, there are things in the Bible that are so critically important that I, as I sit before this mic and talk into it, I don't want to say terrified, but I am very concerned that I will not be able to get the truth out there and to make it and to drive it into your hearts. And friends, I can't do it. Now, this is a matter for God, and I can assure you that every time before I sit down here, I always spend time in prayer and praying that God will give the energy of his Holy Spirit to this message. What Jacob did is very important. And I don't know, I hope we will have enough time to get this in today, but if not, we'll take it up next time, because you've got to see and understand this. Remember, Joseph had been separated from his brethren, sold off into slavery. He goes down into Egypt, and this is a type of the world. And if you don't see the type here, you are blind indeed. Joseph is separated from his brethren. Remember, he was the one who said, I saw all your sheaves bowing down to mine. I saw the stars and the moon and sun worshiping me. And, you know, here we have a picture of the exalting of Joseph, picture of the Christ, a man whom his brethren hated. Now, here we have a picture of the of Israel, who has hated and rejected Christ Jesus our Lord, but they will yet bow the knee to him. They will yet bow the knee to him. And any of you Jews who are listening to me out there, I want you to remember it or write it down. Remember I said it. Israel as a nation and as a people will yet bow the knee to Jesus Christ our Lord as Ben Joseph, Messiah Ben Joseph. We have Joseph down in Egypt, a type of the world, being exalted and getting a Gentile bride, a picture of the church. And we have these two sons of Joseph's, Manasseh and Ephraim, Manasseh being the firstborn, whom Joseph gets from this Gentile bride of his. And you might say the boys themselves are Gentile, at least half Gentile, aren't they? Joseph, or Jacob by now, is an old man. He comes down with his sons into Egypt, and he's blind, and yet how different he is from Isaac. Isaac, by faith, gave the right blessing to a son that he thought was Esau. Well, it wasn't. It was Jacob. But Jacob, even though he is blind, knows exactly what he is doing. Joseph brings his two sons to Jacob to be blessed. He brings the sons up to Jacob with so that the when Jacob is going to put his hands on these boys' head, Joseph brings them up so that the firstborn, Manasseh, is on Jacob's right. I keep getting Joseph and Jacob messed up here together. So that Jacob's right hand will fall on the head of Manasseh, and the left hand will fall on the head of the younger Ephraim, so that the greater blessing will be given to the oldest, the firstborn. Look at what Jacob does. When he puts the blessing on these boys, he crosses his hands and puts his right hand on the head of Ephraim and his left hand on the head of Manasseh. And in doing, I don't want to make too much of this, but I want you to look at it and see it. He makes the sign of a cross, doesn't he? And making the cross, he sets aside the firstborn and takes the secondborn and puts the blessing on the secondborn. Once again, you must be born again. And notice Jacob doesn't like it, or Joseph doesn't like it, rather. He says, "Not so, my father, this is the firstborn." Jacob said, "I know it, my son, I know. And he'll be blessed, but the greater blessing will fall on the secondborn." Now, once again, friends, this is no accident. The principle here being enunciated is that God always will choose the secondborn and not the firstborn. The curse is on the firstborn, not the first man, Adam, but the last man, Adam, the second man, our Lord Jesus Christ. And once, not Saul, but David. You can see this going on and on throughout the Old Testament. And therefore, there's no reason at all why the Lord shouldn't have said to Nicodemus, "You're a ruler in Israel, and you don't know this." Well, we come finally to Joseph, and we'll just touch on him. Joseph, when he died, made mention of his own bones being buried and says, "Carry me up from here." He knew by faith that they would be restored to the land. What a wonderful, wonderful blessing that we have in this. Think about it. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.